preschool to second grade. Okay. Well, we got a part two today. We spent a couple of weeks on the family and focusing on the little ones. And our youth, last week started a message on growing old gracefully. We'll continue that today, but before I get started on that, let's pray one more time. Living God, thank you for loving us, for the gift of your word, your revealed will for our lives, which encourages us and challenges us and strengthens us. May your spirit do a work in our heart through your word that has been read and proclaimed. To the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So, last week, we started our thoughts on growing old gracefully, and we read from Psalm 92. And today we're going to look at another Psalm 71, but I wanted to read to you, I thought I had it memorized, but I don't. Let me just read it. I want to read to you the few verses we had that we focused on last week about growing older. The godly will flourish like palm trees. This is Psalm 92. 12-15. Will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. So in the presence of our God, as these trees are growing and growing older, it's a play on an image here. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare something. The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. So that's where we began. The vitality in the images of trees growing and God still using us as we grow older and even unto fruitfulness and gracefully growing older. There's a note of confidence in that in Psalm 92. When we get to Psalm 71, the attitude is a little bit different. You'll see in just a moment. But just as important that we pray the prayer that the psalmist prayed in Psalm 71. Someone wrote about the seven ages of man or stages of humanity. At 6 weeks, all systems are go. At 6 years, all systems are no, N-O. At 16 years, all systems know, K-N-O-W, know everything. At 26, all systems glow. At 36, all systems O, O-W-E. Or maybe some of you started a little earlier than that, or you're continuing that. At 56, all systems are status quo, and at 76, all systems seem to slow. And that is true. That is a good explanation or summary of life. Psalm 71, we find someone who's in the slowing time. And as he writes this, he writes it as a petition. If you can take this particular psalm and put it in a category, it would be in the category of petition. There are various psalms, but this one would be a petition or a prayerful psalm. Or some of them are even complaint psalms. You know, a lot of times you'll find the psalmist complaining about what's going on in their personal life or what's going on in the world. But what you always find in those types of psalms is a very personal element. You look into the heart of the writer, just like we do here. We're looking into the heart of someone who is growing old. And there's some concerns with that. So I want us to look at some of what was written, but also be encouraged by the scriptures when it comes to our aging. Because God is the God of old age. He's the God of all ages, from babies to the elderly. Notice again what the psalmist writes in verses 6 and 9. He says, "Yes, you have been with me from birth, From my mother's womb, you have cared for me. And now, in my old age, don't set me aside. Don't abandon me when my strength is failing. Very personal prayer. There's some concern here in this writing. You can tell. Something's going on. There's some difficulty. Please, Lord, don't fail me now. Don't abandon me in my old age. But don't forget, he's acknowledging throughout life, from the womb, God has been with him up to the moment. And we can trust a God like that because we trust a God who does not age himself. He is from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. He puts on strength as his belt. His throne is established from of old. He is from everlasting. Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, no matter the age, and in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. He's the God who does not age. Blessed be the Lord God, the one who exists from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. And the Son of God is like the sun, the S-U-N, which comes up every morning. Every morning. Changeless. You see, the sun came up when my great-great-great-great-granddaddy was my age. And the sun came up today for me as well. And the Son of God in the same way, whose mercies are renewed every morning. He is a changeless God. He is immutable. And he holds us. So we have strong faith in this immutable, changeless God whose mercies are renewed every morning, no matter our age and throughout life. But another reason we can trust him is because of his word. We trust him as he gives his promises. We trust the word of God, which does not change. The promises of God are for someone age 20 and someone age 80. The promises of God are the same. The truth of God's word is constant and eternal. Look at these verses, Psalm 105. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. And that includes my generation, and that includes yours. Or Hebrews 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold tight to the confession of your faith. The one who promised is faithful. And in Psalm 119, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. It is for all of us. Now, we all are floating down the river of departure. We're going to leave this world. But let us not become downtrodden or discouraged. Let us, as we're told here in these passages, to be steadfast and filled with courage and faith. For we have a God who does not age. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and whose promises are eternal. But there is something else I want you to note this morning. And I know this may be counterintuitive, but there is a glory, a certain kind of glory in old age. Did you know that? The Bible teaches this. A crowning glory. Proverbs 16:31. Just a few verses. Gray hair is a crown of glory. Did you know that? It is found in the way of righteousness. Gray hair is a crown of glory. And some of you are trying to hide it. I just came up with that. but the scriptures want us to learn something about the faithfulness of God when he brings us into old age. Proverbs 20 and 29. And we all know this. The glory of young men is their strength. And the splendor of old men is their gray head. Now, there's a certain fact of old age that we need to note this morning. The fact of old age. And I emphasized this last week. We're all growing older and nothing can stop it. There is no cream. There's no diet. There's no exercise machine. There's no vitamin. There's no meditation. There is nothing that can stop that. That's not to say you need to use the cream on occasion. You need to exercise. We need to do what we can to stay in good condition as we can. You need to go see your doctor for your annual checkup. I was talking to someone about that this morning, that we need to do that. It seems that everyone wants to live long, but no one wants to grow old. But there is no fountain of youth. And the Bible faces that fact. Christianity is a religion of the real, faces reality. There is no fountain of youth. All of us today are one step closer to a face-to-face encounter with the Almighty God. Some are just closer than others by age, but in reality, none of us really know that moment we see Him. But we're not to be ashamed of this. You know, the grandest things in the world are old. I gave illustration this morning of, or in the early service, of if you took a, say, a 17th century Bible, that thing is priceless because of its age. Or a chest, say a 15th century French chest that you might use to throw something in. Well, that chest is used for the same reason as you might go down and walk to Walmart and buy a chest. But one of them's worth $4,500, one of them's worth $45. Why? Because of the age. There's a certain grandness to it. Agatha Christie, a novelist, British novelist, was married to an archaeologist. And she loved being married to an archaeologist because she said, the older I get, the more interested in me he becomes. The older we get, the more interested we do become. And to God. You know, there are three groups of elderly, though, that I've noticed. And maybe we could add to this, but there are three groups of elderly that I think we can put into a certain category. As we face the fact of old age and make choices of the heart, there are some attitudes that come through. And let me give you three that seem to come through. One is the bitter and the unpleasant. And I've run across them. I'm not talking about losing the faculties of the mind. I'm talking about someone who's just become cynical and bitter at life as they've grown older. John Stott, the great British Anglican preacher, said this, "Little is sadder in elderly people than a negative and cynical outlook on life." Old age is sometimes not handled very well, and someone can become angry, and that develops into bitterness. I'll never forget when the Lord was first dealing with me about going into the ministry, and my local church that I grew up in was getting me involved just on Sunday services, and Cindy and I were just dating at the time, and we were just serving communion one Sunday. The pastor asked us to do that, and we were standing there serving communion, and I saw a lady from the back. There were two rows, two lines that were coming, and a lady in the back walked all the way across so she could make sure she could come down to my line. I had no idea why she did that until she got to me. And she took the bread, or I handed her a piece of bread, and she took the bread, and she, in anger and frustration, I guess she couldn't stand the preacher, and she said, "When you get your church, you do communion the way the Bible says to." Of course, everybody could hear her around there, just an angry, bitter one. I'm thinking, now wait a minute now. We're coming to the Lord's table to receive the grace of salvation for a Christ who gave his life for us, and that's what you bring? That's the attitude you bring? This is someone who had grown old, cynical and angry and bitter, and she was taking it out on everybody. And I've noticed that. I say that as a warning to us all as we grow older, to allow God to do something in us that humbles us, and a certain sweetness that comes with age. Oh God, may it be so. But there's also the pretenders. That's the second group, the pretenders. They try to fool themselves and others into thinking they're actually getting younger and not older. And I got a few illustrations of that that I'm not going to get into. That people, some of the things that people do trying to communicate that to the world. But the third group is the noble. And I've known many of these. Men and women who grow old in nobility. They grow fruitful in old age. They're abiding in Christ. And there's a certain nobility and contentment and glory that is upon them. The fact of old age and how we grow old, very important. But there's also a fear of old age. And that's where this psalmist is. He's concerned about life. He's asking God, "Don't abandon me now. My strength is failing." You know, many people fear old age, and I understand that. There's physical problems, the body begins to break down, mental faculties, financial issues. One guy wrote, "Children are a comfort to you in your old age, but like your IRA, not as much as you expected." Older persons do feel these, and we need to understand that as a church. Feel a tremendous amount of stress because loss starts to come into the life. It's maybe losing a spouse or the loss of health or the loss of independence or the loss of status in the community, the loss of just overall vigor or financial and so forth, and loneliness that can be involved with growing older, the fear of being alone or dying alone. All of this is very real. But let me give you a scripture. I just want to read it and let this encourage us all. This is 2 Corinthians 4, the end of chapter 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. Look at this. "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day." Can I get an amen right there? "Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day." In other words, as you are getting older, in God's economy and in God's kingdom, you're getting younger to the point of eventually the eternal. Look at what he says. He says it here. "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory," there it is again, "a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we can't, that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands." God's going to remake us after the likeness of His resurrected Son. A glorified body will be ours. That day is coming. That's the Christian hope. That's the glory of our gospel and our good news. Ah, he says, "Lord, don't cast me off in the time of old age." He writes in verse 9, "Do not forsake me when my strength is failing." He won't. He won't. He will not forsake you. Or as Isaiah puts it in chapter 46, "Listen to me. I have cared for you since you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and ultimately save you." There's a fear, but that can be met with faith. And then, last thing, is there's a fruit of old age, and we talked a little bit about that last week, a certain maturing in the faith, and authority that comes with that maturing in the faith. Over the years, God ripens the spirit of someone. Like I said, those who continue to keep their heart open to that ripening, producing something great. Or as Job said, "Wisdom is with age, and with length of days comes understanding. And with God are wisdom and strength to the elderly." John Wesley, who's the father of the people called Methodists, preached his last sermon when he was 88 years old. There's a certain memory of the goodness of God that satisfies and lifts up the heart of the aged. And grandchildren. There's a glory in grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Proverbs says that children's children are the crown of old men and women. Did you hear that? Some of you are being crowned, and that's good. You're being crowned by your children's children. So we remember the blessings of God as we grow older. And ministry. The ministry, the fruitfulness of ministry continues. Moses died at 120. Joshua, a little before him. Daniel died as an old man, and so forth. And these are people who died in the faith, and they can look back over the faithfulness of God, and they talked about it. The faithfulness of God over the years and the ministries that continued through their lives. There's a glorious reward that awaits those who wait on the Lord. wait on the Lord, and He will renew your strength. In mythology, Greek mythology, Aurora was the goddess of the dawn. She fell in love with a young mortal man named Tithonus. And Zeus, who's the king of the gods, promised Aurora that he would give her lover whatever she wanted Zeus to give him. And so she asked Zeus to give him eternal life, which Zeus did. But she made one tragic oversight. She forgot to ask Zeus to keep Tithonus young, forever young. Even though he lived on and never died, he got older and older and older. He experienced perpetual aging. Does anybody want to sign up for that? No. My dear friends, there's a portal we have to go through because of sin. The wages of sin is death. There's a portal we have to go through called death to get to the other side. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a gospel that we preach that gives us confidence in that. It's the gospel of a living Christ who died for our sins and was raised 3 days later, who ascended on high and will come again. And He says He will save us. Place your faith and trust in Him. And then, I'll close with this. And then you can read scriptures like this. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at this. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. There's our word again. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, living God, for this great word to your people. This word of hope. This word of assurance. Because sometimes we too pray as the psalmist did. Lord, don't fail me now. And we're so thankful we know you won't. You are the God who never ages. You are eternal and you never change. Lord Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you've given promises to your people. And we just want to receive those afresh today. Even as we're growing older in this world, may our spirits grow ever younger unto eternity. That is our hope, and that is the glory. And that is why we offer you our praise for the assurance of that through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's in His name we give thanks and pray your Spirit, even now, would lift us up, grow us in faith. And